Welcome to installment 84 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's mitzvah is prohibition number 357, that relating to a woman who was zakak liyavim. This is a case where a woman has been widowed without having children from her husband, and her brother-in-law is required either to marry her through yibum or to separate from her with chalitza. Before he has done one of those two things, she is forbidden from having relations with any other man. And the prohibition on men not to have relations from her is prohibition number 357. Today's commandment is connected with the commandment discussed in the last 2 days about a yavama. The Chumash says that when a man has died without leaving any offspring, without leaving any children, that the woman, his widow, is required to go and marry her brother-in-law, that her husband's brother has a mitzvah, a commandment of yibum, to go and marry his sister-in-law, to go and perpetuate his brother's name, now that his brother has passed on, without leaving any children. Although normally the Torah prohibits this as an incestual relation, in such a case where the brother has died without leaving children, it becomes not only permitted, but becomes a mitzvah. This is the commandment of Yibum, as we discussed 2 days ago. In yesterday's commandment, we discussed that if he does not wish to marry her, he has the alternative of Chalitza, that he can go and sever his tie, his bond to her, through the act of chalitza, the removal of the shoe, which serves in this case the actual effect of a get, a writ of divorce, in a regular case of marriage. In this case, since he is not actually married to his sister-in-law, he severs his relationship through chalitza. Again, to give the case we've been discussing previously, that if Reuven was married to Leah, and Reuven died without leaving any children, Reuven's brother, Shimon, as we can call him, is required to go and marry Leah through the commandment of Yibum. Should he decide not to, she is not free to go and marry anyone she wants. And this involves today's commandment, that anyone is prohibited to marry her as long as she has not severed her bond to Shimon through chalitza. This commandment is described in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 5. The verse states that when brothers live together and one of them dies childless, leisia eishes hameis hachutza leish zor, that this woman, the widow, should not be allowed to marry an outsider, an ish zor, in other words, a man other than one of her dead husband's brothers. Yavama yava yoleh, that the brother-in-law must come to her, ulakach alei leisha, and take her to himself as a wife, performing the duty of a brother-in-law to perpetuate his brother's name. Therefore, since this woman must marry her brother-in-law, any other man is prohibited from marrying her. And this is today's prohibition of zakuk liyavim. There is much discussion in the commentaries whether the same prohibition applies to the woman. Whether the woman, just as a man, is prohibited from marrying her, whether she is prohibited from marrying someone else. It is clear, however, that the main prohibition is on another man to marry her as long as she has not severed her relationship with her brother-in-law through chalitza. A case of yibum chalitza, of a levirate marriage, is recorded actually in the book of Genesis, in chapter 38, that when Yehuda married his wife Shua, he had 3 sons. One's name was Er, a second's name was Einan, and a third name was Shelah. Er took Tamar as a wife. And after Er had married Tamar, Er died, as the Chumash describes, without having any children. Afterwards, since Er had died without children, Einan was required to marry Tamar, as Yehuda requested from Einan that he should go and have children with Tamar in order to perpetuate the name of Er. And as we learned, Einan went and spilled seed in vain, and as such was punished by God by death. And therefore, Er had died, and Einan had died. Tamar was thereby was prohibited from marrying anybody except Shelah, the third son. She was then zakuk liyavim. She was required to go and marry Shelah, her brother-in-law. However, Yehuda did not want to go and give Shelah as a husband to Tamar, since he was afraid that since two of his sons had already died, by refusing to have children with Tamar, he was afraid that Shelah would also die. And therefore Tamar remained, so to speak, a widow and unable to remarry. That since she was prohibited from remarrying, since she was required to go and marry only Shelah, and Shelah would not marry her because of Yehuda's command, therefore she was unable to remarry. In this case, Tamar was connected to her brother-in-law, Shelah. Even though previously she would be forbidden to him as a brother-in-law and sister-in-law, now she was connected to him and actually required to marry him. This is expressed, as the Chinuch explains, in the actual chalitza ceremony, as we discussed yesterday. That in the chalitza, the sister-in-law removes her brother-in-law's shoe. The Chinuch explains that this taking off his shoe shows to everyone that she is connected to him and subservient in a sense to him, and therefore is even doing the job of removing his shoe. However, afterwards, once he refuses to marry her, then she has severed her connection with him and throws the shoe and spits on the ground in front of him to go and indicate that they are no longer connected. She has no more fear of him, and he is to her like any other man. Regarding perpetuating the name of the man who has died without having children, an interesting story is told regarding Reb Avraham of Sochatchev. Some people were discussing the case of an apostate, a certain man that had gone away from the ways of Judaism, and someone had mentioned after his name, Yemach Shemei, may his name be blotted out. Reb Avraham of Sochatchev said that even regarding an apostate, one must not say that. He mentions that what is the law of an apostate should he die without having children? We see, and in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud claims that his wife must still have chalitza. That even she goes and needs chalitza. She is connected to the brother-in-law in order to go and perpetuate the dead husband's name, even though he was an apostate. And therefore she must have chalitza. And continued Reb Avraham, regarding this case, it says, "V'lo yimach shmei b'Yisrael," that his name should not be erased from the Jewish people. And he is required, "L'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael," the brother-in-law is required to stand up the name of the dead brother. From this said of Reb Avraham, that even the case of apostate, we see that the Chumash, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, requires that his memory should remain, that his name should not be blotted out. And therefore, as long as the person was Jewish, even though the person had become an apostate, it is forbidden to go and say his name should be blotted out. To conclude today's portion, we should mention this prohibition on the woman remarrying if she has not obtained a chalitza from her brother-in-law is in effect even today. Due to ignorance, there are in fact many people who go and transgress this prohibition, not knowing that they are not free to marry without having a chalitza. Therefore, people should be aware that if there is a woman whose husband has died without having any children, and there is a surviving brother of the dead husband, that they are required, before the woman can remarry, she is required to obtain a chalitza. And the chalitza can be obtained by contacting an Orthodox rabbi who can convene a Beis Din, a Jewish court, to facilitate the chalitza. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.